Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you say. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm your host, Dave Bantz. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. And by the Tennessee Republican Assembly, a socially, morally, and fiscally conservative group of individuals committed to upholding the traditional Republican ideals that represent the American founders' original intent. We believe in God, family, and country. We believe in principles over politics. The TRA is the only rhino-free Republican organization in Tennessee. Visit our website at tnra.org. That's tnra.org. The phone number to call and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. Thank you for being with us tonight. Apologize, the last couple of weeks we've had some problems. My internet was down last week. The week prior to that we had some problems as well. So hopefully that's all over and everything will go smooth tonight. So I appreciate your patience and appreciate you tuning in. Tonight is actually the one-year anniversary of Inside Tennessee. We started a year ago tonight, 17th of June. So thank you to those who have listened over the past year, and we've had some great guests. I really appreciate them. Some of them we've had a few different times, and we've got some great guests lined up tonight as well. We're going to have Representative Judd Matheny with us in a few minutes, and he's going to talk about a con. I'll let him fill you in on the details. I'm not saying he's pushing one. He did attend the Mount Vernon Assembly in Indiana over the weekend. And he's going to tell what was talked about. And if you may not be aware, but there was some legislation in Tennessee that passed during this past legislative session that for limited purposes, authorize the state to send some delegates to a con, or at least explore the opportunity. I'll let him fill us in on the blanks on that. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. A little later on, we're going to have Bob Reese, who is running for U.S. House 5th District against Bob Cooper. And then towards the end of the show, we'll have Roy Bricco, who's running for the State House in District 81. And so we've got some good guests lined up. And we have a new thing that we're going to start. We intended to start it last week. Obviously, that didn't happen. We may start it this next week, all depending, or we may wait a little bit longer. Got to make sure all the kinks are worked out. But we're going to call it Ticked Off Tuesdays. And what we're going to do is we're going to allocate about 15 minutes or so for people to call in and just rant about anything political that's going on, whether it's going on in the state or the nation or in your county. The only rules are no profanity, and you get to rant roughly 90 seconds, and when your time is up, we pull the plug on you and move to the next person. And so it's just an opportunity to get some things off your chest, or maybe just inform people of some things that are going on that they may not be aware of. So Ticked Off Tuesdays, coming soon to Inside Tennessee. We'll let you know more about that. We'll put some things out on the internet for you, so you know when to be prepared for it. Next week, just so you know, we will have Mae Beavers and Kathy Henners, among other guests. A few things coming up here in the local area I want to let you know about. Richard Gabriel will be at the Woodmont Baptist Church off Woodmont Boulevard in Nashville the 23rd of June. That's Monday night, 23rd of June from 7 to 9. And if you want to go, you have to register at Bridget, Gabriel, Nashville at eventbrite.com. All right. So that's Bridget, Gabriel, Nashville. eventbrite.com if you're interested in seeing Miss Gabriel. And she's the founder or one of the founders of Act for America. They are very involved in informing the public on the threat, the Islamic threat of Islam in this country and what things that are going on, whether it be the people, the Muslim Brotherhood operatives that the Obama administration has working on your dollar, your dime, by the way. Or other things that are going on here and across the world. So that'll be a worthwhile event if you can attend it. And got a few other things here I want to apprise you of. The Understanding the Threat. If you're familiar with John Gondolo, he does a blog. And for the next this week, it's a five-day series on Sharia Islamic law and why Americans need to understand and pay attention. At UTT, we take the essentials of Sharia and boil them down into understandable and easy-to-digest portions each day of this week. The article for this week is Sharia, Real Law, and the Language Our Enemies Use, lays out the legal foundation for the threat doctrine of our enemies, Sharia, and then details how understanding Sharia is the only way to translate what Islamic leaders are really saying when they communicate. All right, so that's at understandingthethreat.com. It's a five-day course. At blog.understandingthethreat.com. Okay, so that's something you might want to follow up on. Also, you know, we hear a lot about what's going on down the border, and we have all these illegals, these Obama illegals, because Obama created this. Actually, Obama and the whole amnesty crowd, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, you name it, they created that situation down there. And so the illegals are certainly a problem. Not having a secure border is certainly a problem. But, you know, we also have refugees that come here, that we bring here, as if we don't have enough problems. Oh, and by the way, many of them, a good chunk of them are Muslim. Not all of them, but a very good chunk of them, especially here in Tennessee. Well, there's a site called Refugee Resettlement Watch you may or may not be familiar with. And I don't want to read this whole email, but a few things you need to be apprised of in regards to this. This week, Friday, will be World Refugee Day, okay? And you know that all the pro-immigration groups are going to be lobbying hard. And these are contractors. Contractors who get federal dollars to lobby to bring more refugees here. That's how they make their living, okay? But this blog site, Resettlement Watch, Refugee Resettlement Watch, is by Ann Cochran. And she says she's encouraging us to, you know, be aware of this. Take time to let your elected officials know at all levels of government how you feel about the ever-expanding resettlement of third worlders into your town and cities. Bombard everybody, especially Trey Gowdy. Now, I don't know why she says Trey Gowdy. Maybe because he's one of the few guys up there with backbone, and if he hears about it, more inclined to do something. I don't know. I can only speculate on that based on how well he stands up for other things. The contractors, who, by the way, also are lobbying for amnesty because they will be paid to service the new client, the new clients, here are some of the main organizations that lobby for more immigration to include illegals. Church World Services, Ethiopian Community Development Council, Episcopal Migration Ministries, good Lord, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, International Rescue Committee, U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and World Relief Corporation. So those are some of the agencies out there that are lobbying for your tax dollars, to get your tax dollars to pay for these people who don't even want to assimilate. Basically, they're future Democrats. Well, unfortunately, many of them may be future terrorists, too, because a lot of them come from Muslim countries. So those are just some things to be aware of. You know, speaking of Islamists and terrorists and the threat, Iraq has been in the news. Unless you've been under a rock, you've heard about what's going on over there. And it's a terrible situation. Especially for the Christians over there. Really, since the Constitution, the new Constitution, the Sharia-based Constitution that you know, we help set up. That is sick, but we actually help set it up. Since that time, it's really been hard on the Christian community in Missoula, especially, but throughout the country. Missoula is one of the larger Christian communities. Well, so they are catching it right now, as are Christians throughout the Middle East. And so it's tragic for them. Now, as far as Iraq goes, I hate the fact that we lost so many people there and that so many people came back from there forever scarred, you know, missing a limb, missing limbs, traumatic brain injuries, PTSD, you name it. And as a veteran, and I did serve over there, fortunately, I didn't have any of those things happen to me. But, you know, so I hate the sacrifice that we've made, and it all seems like any chances that it had of being for the good are going down the tubes. Actually, they went down the tubes when we decided to help them institute a Sharia-compliant constitution. But either way, this is just my take on this as a veteran and as somebody who sees Islam as a threat. I would like to see if there would be some way. Obviously, any of our people, we got to get our people out. And that's one thing that concerns me. There's a couple hundred contractors over there, and, of course, there's State Department employees at the embassies and others. And so, obviously, I want to get our people out. I hope that we get our people out. Don't know that we will, but I certainly hope that that's the case. But after getting our people out, I wish there'd be some provision made for helping the Christians there. I wouldn't hold my breath on that with this administration. The only other concern I have is taking out any weapon systems or hardware that would be a threat beyond the borders, or would be a threat to eventually to us or a threat to Israel. That would really be the only thing. Other than that, you know, the highest goal, the goal for the devout Muslim is to be a martyr. So I say we let the Sunnis and the Shias make good Muslims out of each other. That's just my thought. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. Just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And it is good to be back. I'm glad that apparently everything is working good so far. Before the little read there, I was talking about the situation in Iraq, and I just kind of laid out my thoughts on it. And, you know, what are yours? If you keep in mind, I understand, you know, this is Inside Tennessee and that's something international, but hey, you know, the bulk of Fort Campbell actually sits in Tennessee. The post office is in Kentucky. Part of the Toman area, the main base, is in Kentucky, but so much of that post is in Tennessee, and a lot of the people that are stationed there and work there are from Tennessee. So it is something that impacts us. And, of course, the 101st was in Iraq at least two times, if not three, I believe. And so, you know, it's a shame to see all that was sacrificed go down the tubes. But, like I said, do what we can if to get our people out. Get our people out. If we could help the Christians, great. Get rid of any hardware that's a threat to us or to Israel. And other than that, just let them have at it, making good Muslims out of each other. That's kind of the way I see it. It may sound kind of cold, but I have a hard time thinking that we should sacrifice any more for those people. Anyway, Our first guest will be with us in a few minutes, hopefully. He is in an area where he might have some reception problems, so we'll, hopefully that will not be an issue. But I want to talk a little bit, just kind of set the stage here. You know, Mark Levin's book, The Liberty Amendments, which I'm in the process of reading. I've read most of it. I think there's some good stuff in there. I've heard arguments on both sides of, you know, why a con would be a good thing, why it would be a terrible thing. But you know what? We're going to get a little more detail as of right now because Judd just popped up on the screen here. Representative Matheny, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, and I'm going to try to put you on a speakerphone. There's a few other people listening, and if it's a problem, let me know.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay, David, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Have you got me?
I've got you, yes, sir. Thank you for
good.
Allowing me to call in. We've got a unique subject to talk about, and it's kind of a sublime subject. We're a little bit nervous about it, but at the same time, it's a right that we have, and I think it needs to be fully vetted before we make a decision as to whether or not we're going to utilize it, and that's basically an Article 5 convention. So,
and for those who might not know what an Article 5 convention is, can you real quick just break it down for them?
Sure. It is one of the ways that the Founding Fathers gave us the ability to, and really as an option of last resort, to usurp the federal legislature and get something done, provided they would not listen to us. There are two ways to amend the Constitution. One is that the existing congressmen and senators that we have in Washington will see that something needs to be done. They'll be proactive and they'll fix it themselves on behalf of the country. The second way is for the individual states to form together and create a constitutional convention and have two-thirds of the states convene and eventually three-quarters of the states ratify a change to the U.S. Constitution, and we literally go around the federal government in doing that. And it's never been successfully accomplished before, and I've been an open critic of a constitutional convention if it is not very purposefully put together, because it does have the potential, especially in the political climate we have today, to become bastardized, as lack of a better word, and lose the freedoms that we actually have. And I'm a firm believer that it's easier to defend the freedoms that we already have that we know can work. But there is a need for a balanced budget in the United States budgetary process. And I was asked by Speaker Beth Harwell in Tennessee to represent the Tennessee House in going to the Mount Vernon Assembly, which met. And Dave, you stop me anytime if I need to.
Before you go down, now that, okay, there was you and there was Representative Butt that were appointed, but now there was legislation. This was not something that was done on a whim. There was actually legislation passed in Tennessee that led to this, correct?
Correct. There was a meeting last December of 33 states in Mount Vernon, Virginia, and they decided that they would come up with some model legislation just to begin to set the stage for states to participate in a constitutional convention. And what it would basically do is it would encourage all past calls for a constitutional convention to be nullified, so there's not a lot of loose ends hanging out there, so that every state starts with a clean slate. And we would also put forward what is called a loyal delegate bill, which basically says, and this is to ease everybody's mind about a runaway convention, and it basically is that if you're an official appointee of the state of Tennessee and you're sent to cast a vote at a constitutional convention and you do not do what you had agreed to do and what you had been sworn to do, then you would be culpable for a Class B felony and spend up to 25 years in Tennessee penitentiary. And so we're very serious about that. And in several states, I believe over a dozen states have passed the loyal delegate bill now, and about 22 states have actually passed the enabling legislation to get us moving forward. They have nullified past constitutional actions that were still in the system, and they're prepared to move forward on a unified front. Now, what we have found is that basically we've gone through the low-hanging fruit of the more conservative states that want to do something. And we have all agreed right now as the Mount Vernon Assembly, which we changed our name also, and I want to read you that resolution we passed, but we've all agreed that we're going to concentrate on only a balanced budget amendment. We're not going to deviate from any other issue. We're not going to – we are going to organize as all 50 states. And our next meeting, the most recent one we had, of course, was last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I was appointed to the committee to help put together the next one in Atlanta, Georgia, on December 1st and 2nd. And we would like to have a bipartisan delegation of three people from all 50 states to come in December, and we want to start the process of coming up with common language that we believe 85% of the population of America would agree with, and therefore make it much easier for the 38 states that we eventually need to ratify this to be able to do it without a lot of individual changes that needed to be made. So the group that I met with represented 28 states this past weekend, and it was a very esteemed group of people. A couple speakers of the House, a couple presidents of the Senate. Senator Mike Bell was up there with me also from Tennessee. And I was impressed by the prudence of the group, by the fact that the group as a whole said emphatically that no federal assistance of any kind would be utilized in this operation. That would include technical assistance from the U.S. Congress or the U.S. Senate or the Supreme Court. It would include applying for any type of 501c3, c4, c6 certification with the Internal Revenue Service. We do not want to be beholden to the federal government in any way. We will pay our taxes as we raise money and spend money to advertise or to pay expenses to help with the due diligence and putting together a potential convention. And we set a monetary limit at $500. For any person or organization to donate to this cause. Nobody under any circumstances for the life of the project may donate more than $500, because we do not want anybody to be able to show undue monetary / political influence in the process. And I have to say that I was very proud, because I felt like I was there with 100 kindred spirits. There were no flip-flopping moderates in there. They were all God-fearing, good Americans that are well-educated and are there to do the right thing. And so I'm encouraged, and I hope we have a good meeting in December, and I hope we can continue to build confidence and successes from there.
But there are other organizations out there trying to do the same thing. And so this organization is not the same organization that's trying, that's pushing the Liberty Amendments that Levin has created, correct?
No, this is we're really trying to concentrate on a balanced budget amendment, and there are groups, and there's some people in this group that would like to see more of the Liberty Amendments, but I think and there are other groups that are out there pushing it. You're right, and we have great respect for Mr. Levin, and we've all read his book, and he makes great sense, but I think the overarching lesson that I learned coming out of last weekend was that let's put together the A-team, let's do everything right, let's use the constitutional conventions and the conventions of 1785, 86, and 87 in New York and Philadelphia, and the Federalist Papers that surrounded the drafting of our Constitution and the debates as the precedent for how we do this. And let's use common sense to make sure that we don't trigger any type of interstate clauses or some type of other powers where the federal government can come into this issue, and let's do it the right way, and let's get a victory, and let's force a balanced budget amendment on the U.S. Constitution. But stop the hemorrhaging. Let's show the American people that if they unite, they can get something done. I think biting off too many initiatives at one time is going to splinter the group, and it's going to be unsuccessful. I could be proved wrong in the future, and I would never say I'm not going to change my mind to try to help a sure bet. But right now I think the sure bet is let's get a good one done, and let's nail it hard, and let's build everybody's confidence up, and let's get a win.
Let me ask you this, because, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, they don't follow the Constitution now. Let's just say that let's just say we had this whole thing done in 2 years, and I understand that's not realistic, but let's just say it's signed, sealed, and delivered, and it's now law. They don't respect the Constitution now. Why would we think just because we pass another amendment that they would respect that?
Well, two things. You're going to be sending a group up there that has already had conversations like this. I sit on the Committee Planning, Communication, and Finance Report. Mike Bell and Sheila Butt sit on the Judiciary Committee for the Mount Vernon Assembly, which is now, by the way, known as the Assembly of State Legislatures. We wanted to be much more inclusive. And these folks have already identified exactly this. Not only the fact, and we've also identified the fact that it is an absolute concern of the citizenry in Tennessee. And we are going to put safeguards in there to make sure that this is done. Plus, or to the best of our ability, and these are things we're exploring, Dave. I mean, this is the second meeting of probably 10 we'll have over a 5 or 6 year period, so there's going to be a lot of changes that move forward. This is a very historical event, and there are capable, well-heeled, politically savvy people that are running this that have some pretty good horsepower. So I think we're going to be able to convince the federal Congress that this is going to be done and it has to be done. And I think also in the process, we will neuter many federal congressmen and senators that failed to get this done, and many of the delegates that we send up to Washington to actually pull the trigger on this balanced budget amendment. You're looking at your new congressmen and your new senators now, because when those people run the next time around, they're going to be hard to beat. So there's going to be a huge dynamic, I think, that will change that will help to enforce that, as well as we know now, you know, the Founding Fathers never saw where we would be right now. They knew how bad it could get, but they never realized how bad it can really get. Now that we know those lessons, too, and we're starting to rewrite some fundamentals within our Constitution, i.e. the balanced budget amendment, I think we've got the ability to make it even tougher now for the abuses of the past to continue in the future. And this is only a first step. Remember, it took 70 or 80 years to get to where we are, and it's going to take that long, or at least half that long, to correct these issues. And it's going to take a long time to walk out of $17 trillion in debt, a long time.
Yeah. Well, to your point about the founders, my guess is they thought we would have had enough sense to use the Second Amendment before now. But I'll leave it at that. But I'll tell you, I am glad to hear about the caliber of people that you're describing that are there, and it is good to have a body of people from the states there, because, you know, if our economy does crash, or excuse me, when our economy crashes, if things get worse, it is good already to have on tap a group of people that think like us. I mean, that could come in handy for other issues. And I understand you guys are only going to tackle the balanced budget issue. If I could make a wish list, I guess I would say, since impeachment is not going to be used, I guess I wish that you guys were working on an alternative plan that we could get rid of somebody like the current dictator that we have.
You know, Mitt, it's interesting you say that. The number two thing that was brought up in the meeting as another thing to look at, which I think was eventually repulsed, but it was a recall provision, both on the national and the state level, and, you know, the ability to go back and recall folks. So there is another something out there that I think looks to your vein. And I know we have to leave soon, and as we wrap up, Dave, I wanted you to thank you for this opportunity to talk. And the folks that are listening, I know, have followed me closely for the last couple of years. And I want to assure anybody that if they have questions or concerns about me digging into an Article 5 convention, I am more than happy to meet one-on-one with those folks, or they can call me and let me articulate the reasons why I'm doing this. And I'm wide open to any criticisms or comments or good ideas people have. But the way I look at it is I have enough confidence, political confidence in myself, to know I'm going to do what's right. And I will pledge to you on this show that if I ever and put in a situation where I'm going to be required to do what the citizens of Tennessee did not want me to do in order to maintain my status in any organization, I'm quitting and coming to the House. So as risky as the constitutional amendment process is, I promise you, you've got a guy that is not going to do something that you don't already expect he's going to do when he leaves.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think the people that know you do have confidence in you. Conventions do scare us. I'm not a fan of it. I'm also at the point where we're already losing everything. If this is something that could maybe focus more attention on what's going on, then, you know, if nothing else, it's a good thing for that. Still have my concerns, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what argument. I don't. We're losing them already, I guess, is the way I see it. And, you know, maybe if we have the right people from the states get involved, we could turn that back somehow. That's really all I know to say on that.
Dave, as long as we keep doing what's right and we keep trying legally to do everything to remedy this situation, when and if those are no longer options, we can have a good conscience, I promise you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'm up against a hard break, and I know you can't stay. Can you stay a few minutes beyond the break, or do you have to go?
I need to go. My battery's about dead, and I hope you'll forgive me for that. I'm on a cell phone in the middle of the woods, literally.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, and we appreciate what you do, and we'll be in touch. We'll have you back on and maybe do a little longer session on this when we get a chance.
Sure, there's a lot going on, so I'll be glad to talk to you, Dave.
All right, hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
And thank you for everybody listening. Have a good night. Bye.
Good night. Good night. All right, don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Listen Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4, action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com to stand for America now.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we were just talking to Representative Judd Matheny and filled us in a little bit. Hopefully we'll get to go a little bit longer the next time. A lot of questions, but just to recap, in case you didn't hear it or didn't hear all of it, he did attend the Mount Vernon Assembly, which I think they've now changed the name to Council of Legislators or something like that. But going to work just on a balanced budget amendment. Probably a pretty good choice. I don't know of anybody that disagrees that we, you know, spending is an issue and that we have to have a balanced budget. So that's probably a fairly safe bet, probably one of the easier things to find consensus on. Now, how you keep it balanced is another story because, you know, here's the deal. Liberal Democrats will tell you they're for a balanced budget too. They have no problem raising taxes to balance that budget. That's one of the things I wanted to ask him about, how they would prevent that. But, you know, maybe we'll get him on the next one. But a lot of people get really upset about this, and I can see the concern. I mean, on the one hand, we do occasionally win a Supreme Court case. You know, on the one hand, every now and then, the federal government backs off just a little bit. Every now and then we'll win a Supreme Court case. So right now, I mean, for most of our lives, most of the people that I know, our rights and freedoms, rather than being recognized as coming from God and set aside, and that fact being recognized in the Constitution, it seems like our rights have come from 5-4 Supreme Court decisions. So there's probably nobody living, or certainly very few people living, that actually grew up or, you know, lived under the Constitution as it was intended, you know, to a great degree. There's very few people that could that have had that experience. And, of course, it's only gotten worse. It's gotten worse the last 10 years, 20 years, 30. It's just gotten worse and worse. The government's gotten bigger and bigger, more power, more agencies, more money to dangle and coerce state governments, even county governments. So when you look in the big scheme of things, I know in my lifetime I would say the rights, that this is one of the things that's always bothered me. It just seems like our rights have been decided by 5-4 cases on the Supreme Court. I'm like, that's not what the founders fought for. I don't think that's what, you know, that's not what they intended. That's not what generations that fought, died, and bled after that fought for, so that a 5-4 Supreme Court decision could determine some of your basic rights. So that's bad enough. Of course, now we have a situation where we have the current president who just ignores the law, ignores the Constitution, tells his Department of Justice not to inform federal laws, like DOMA, for instance, immigration laws, don't enforce it, don't deport these people that fit this category. We know he's invited all these people to the border, all these kids. We know he's doing that. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, Bergdahl, 5 terrorists for 1 deserter, and apparently, or possibly a pro-Islamist deserter at that. So anybody else would have been impeached. And I understand that Harry Reid controls the Senate, and I understand that the Senate would never remove him. I would still like to see the House impeach him, because it's still a responsibility of the House to do that. You know, this thought of, well, and here's what they've said recently. Well, we don't want to do impeachment because we're afraid that might fire up his base in the midterms, and that might negatively impact the GOP plans for taking over the Senate and increasing their control of the House. So basically they're telling us that they really don't have much more respect for their oath of office than the president does. They're not going to do their job. And, oh, by the way, the House, you know, the House controls the purse strings, or they're supposed to anyway. I can't think of anything they've unfunded. I can't think of an executive order, because most executive orders, a lot of them, do require money in some way, shape, or form. Nothing comes to mind of an executive order that he's signed and the Congress has gone back and said, well, hey, we're not going to fund that. Matter of fact, the only cuts that this House has made, this supposedly conservative Republican House, has been cuts to the military. Now, they weren't as, you know, bad as everybody thought they were going to be, but, you know, the GOP is supposed to be good on defense. They cut the only one of the few things that the federal government's supposed to do, but they haven't cut any of the waste. There aren't many federal programs eliminated under the GOP. And now they don't even want to do their job and impeach this guy because they're afraid it'll impact him politically. You know, that's another thing, too. I don't understand why in an election year they wouldn't want to constantly remind the public of all the Obama scandals. I would think that would hurt the Democrats in the Senate even more and in the House. I would think that would be a good thing for the GOP, even if they didn't, you know, weren't able to get the Senate to go along with actually taking him out of office. Just having the trial, just bringing up the charges, laying it out there. I don't see how that could be bad for the party. I really, really don't. I don't understand that. So even if you're just a cold, hard political hack, I would think you would be for impeachment. You know, how can it be a bad thing to air the other side's dirty laundry? You know, and people are upset. Even a lot of Democrats were upset with the Bergdahl swap. Benghazi has got a lot of people upset, rightfully so. Now we see what's going on in Iraq. After the blood and treasure we spent there, you know, I don't know. That's, like I say, that is a lost cause. It's a shame that we lost good people there, and the good people have been forever changed. Physically, some mentally, some physically and mentally by that conflict, but I'm really concerned about the people that are still over there, the Americans we have over there, whether they're government workers, contractors, whatever, the small military contingent that we have there. We are sending a few more to help evacuate and or relocate some of these people, some of our people, but I hope they do get out alive, and so keep them in your prayers, and hopefully we won't have another Benghazi-type situation in Iraq with a few hundred Americans. All these things are things to be concerned about, and we just have to pay attention and keep praying. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineers' insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number 718-305-7176. And we're going to go to Kurt here real quick. Kurt, you have a comment on the con or anything else real quick?
Dave, you asked my premier question when you spoke about, you know, if we have a con and if we put something new legislation into place, what guarantee do we have that it will be honored, enforced, et cetera, et cetera? I feel like Judd has done as good a job of answering that question probably as a politician can. I trust Judd's judgment, and I believe that he's trying to do the right thing. It's just that I'm having a great deal of difficulty understanding how this is going to solve the problem. I guess I'm a little too slow on the uptake on some of this political wheeling and dealing. That's the only thing I can think of. I've come to the point, personally, in this thing where I feel like I've said just about everything that I have to say about the political scenes. I'm running out of new. I can't think of anything new to say. There is nothing new to say. I'm in the mode of, you know, it's time to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm not absolutely certain what the best thing to do is. I have some very clear-cut ideas that I'm not going to go into right here, not on the radio.
Yeah,
but,
I understand but that. NSA is probably listening, I'm sure.
It's time to do something. I'm tired of talking. The time for talking has come and gone. The time for action is here. And that's about the best way I know to put it.
I'm with you. It's frustrating, and I do have a few ideas. Matter of fact, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about doing something and some of the conflicts that we run into with some of the legislators that have been up there a while, and even some good conservatives. There seems to be this disconnect about, I guess, our expectations and what they claim the reality is. Anyhow, don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. You know, a lot of times being involved with politics, and I've never held elected office. I do go up to the Capitol every now and then, and I do know some politicians, and I've had different conversations with them. And one of the things I always hear, especially if regards to the Tea Party and other conservative groups, is, hey, you know, and Judd touched on it, and he's right. We didn't get this way overnight. We're not going to fix it overnight. I got that, and I don't disagree with that. However, you know, it's kind of like when you figure out you've got stage 4 cancer, you can't just take little actions. When you find out that you've got stage 4 cancer and you've probably had it for 10 years or 5 years or whatever, you can't use a normal process if you hope to have any chance of surviving. So while the political wheels may not normally spin as fast as we would like them to, and while we can't get everything we want in one session or in one bill or you know, even in a couple of years, there's got to be a little better balance struck between those of us who see the need for some dramatic action. I think there has to be dramatic action, whether you're talking at the state level, whether you're talking at the federal level, there has to be some dramatic action. You're not going to address every problem all at once. You're not going to fix everything all at once. But I don't think we can say it's taken us 100 years to get in this situation and you know, it's going to take us close to that to get out of it. On the debt, you know, hey, $17 trillion, that's a lot of money. That may very well take us 50 years or more. Granted, we could do it a whole lot faster if we started using our own resources, like oil and natural gas, coal, things like that. But they have to be realistic, too. And see, that's the thing. Knowing what's going on is in some ways a curse. You know, I've always followed politics. I won't say always, but for the last 20 years, I've followed them pretty close. But it's only been in the last, I guess, 7 or 8 years, certainly since 2009, but even before then, that I really started paying attention and figuring out some of these things. And the more you know, you know, the more you realize, hey, if we're not at stage four cancer, I don't know what we are. I don't know what is, you know, I don't know if this is not an emergency, I don't know what is. And we can't just take those normal, we can't take the normal approach. We can't take the, we cannot have a 20-year cure for something that's going to kill you in two or three. So we've got to get a better balance there. Legislators, and hey, hats off to Judd. He's one of the good guys in Tennessee, and he takes a lot of hits. Him and Rick Womack, Senator May Beavers, and others. There are others. Those are not the only, but I'll tell you what, we only have a small number of people that really, really step up and stand up and take it on the chin like those guys. But we need more people like that. Because it takes more dramatic action than the political world is used to. So even though we can't get everything we want as quick as we want it, they're going to have to deliver faster than they're used to doing it. If we're going to, you know, salvage our country, salvage our state, I really feel that way. I don't think that there's any way around it. It's going to take dramatic action. You can't wait this long and then say, okay, we're going to use the normal process, and in 20 years from now, we'll have accomplished X. Can do it on some things, other things we can't do it on. There's some fights that have to be fought fast and furiously. They've got to be effective, but they've got to be done fast, and they've got to be done furiously. So the other thing, you know, talking about the founders, and we get disgusted with the politicians. I mean, I'm disgusted with the GOP for not using any of the power they have, especially at the federal level. They haven't used it. Think about it. 2010, the Tea Party wave in 2010, the conservative wave in 2010, and we put those people in there. In many ways, it was a response to Obamacare. And they had the moment, they were put into office to do something about Obamacare and to do something about spending. They had a mandate from the people. They had a serious mandate. But they didn't use it. It was surrender from day one. That was fall of 2010. By the fall, late summer, actually August of 2011, they were already extending Obama's credit card. They had already failed to actually reduce any spending, to cut any federal program, even duplicate programs. So the GOP, they're just dismal failures. They're pathetic cowards. We have you got Cruz here. You got a few people here and there, but not much. Really, not much. Out of the 435 in the House, if we have 15, 20 fighters, people that would be worth salvaging, I'd be surprised. Senate's even worse. We've got Cruz and we've got. Well, we've got Cruz, and I'm sure I'm overlooking somebody, but DeMint's no longer there. I don't know. I guess we got one or two, but we don't have many. But I want you to think about something. As sorry as our elected officials are, at federal and in many cases the state level, we certainly have a sorry governor here. If you live in Tennessee, you know that. As sorry as they are, and as much as they are the exact type of person that the founders warned us about, the exact type of person that the founders tried to create checks and balances against, you know, citizens are to blame too. You know, I was only half kidding when I said that the founders probably figured we'd use the Second Amendment well before now. I'm only halfway kidding. If you consider what's going on in this country today with the DHS, the NSA, think about it. The Department of Homeland Security in 2009, Janet Napolitano said veterans, pro-lifers, Tea Partiers, pro-Second Amendment people, born-again Christians, and people basically people that had the traditional values were the biggest threat to this country. That was in 2009. Well, you know, they didn't get rid of Napolitano. She caught a little bit of flack in the press, not much, They didn't get rid of her. They kept her. And that was 5 years ago. Could you imagine if the Department of Homeland Security in 2009 would have said illegal immigrants, minority gangs, and atheists, radical homosexual activists are a threat to this country, rabid environmentalists are a threat to this country, that can you imagine what would have happened? I mean, they would have been gone in no time. Most of those GOPers would have been on the bandwagon. Oh, we got to get rid of this person, no matter who it is. So, yes, we have sorrier officials, elected officials, but we keep electing them. They've got a high. You know, we talk about term limits. Well, we keep voting in the same people, and we complain about them. But way too many of us, it's like my guy's good. It's everybody else's guy or girl that needs to go. Everybody else's rep or senator is terrible, but mine's good because he's, you know, supports payment for my special interest. I would say that not only do we have sorrier leaders, we have sorrier citizens overall than what we had in the past. So those are just things to think about. All right. Our next guest is on the line. We do have a few minutes before break, and so that I don't have to continue to ramble on, we're going to go ahead and say hello to Bob Reese. Bob Reese, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
And I saw in your bio you're a veteran. You have a degree in business. You've been in Tennessee about 36 years, mostly in Davidson County, and you're a strong supporter of the Constitution, and you want to put Bob Cooper out of a job. Now, I can't let you go full blast yet because I've got in a few minutes I do have to take a break, but I'm going to go ahead and let you open up a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yep, Jim Cooper has been in office for over 20 years, and I think it's time that we term limited him. And I am the only veteran running in either the primary or the fall because Jim Cooper never served. And I just got finished speaking to the VFW here in Dixon and the Ladies Auxiliary, and I opened up with both of them saying, you know, Jim Cooper sits on the Military Affairs Committee. How's that working for you? And it got pretty much laughter to guffaws. So I believe we need to get more veterans in Congress, especially on the Military Affairs Committee. And the only way to get him off is to beat him at the ballot box.
Yeah. Well, now, what are some of the things that you want to accomplish if you get elected? What are some of your, let's say, top five things you'd like to do?
Well, the first thing is, have Congress start following the Constitution.
What a
and
concept.
Not spending more money than they take in.
Balanced budget, okay.
I overtalked you. What did you say, sir?
I said novel concept, following the Constitution.
Yeah, what a novel concept, yes. And I'll tell you, most of the people that know me take me as pretty much pretty well educated, not an expert, but pretty well educated on the Constitution. And I am pretty well convinced, and you'll be able, you can test me here on the air. I'm pretty well convinced that most of the problems we have in this country are as a result of our government not following the Constitution.
Oh, I agree 100%. I would say two things. It's the moral decline and not following the Constitution. I think those two things right there.
Yes. Now we can talk the moral decline. Since we took God out of the schools, it we've been going downhill. And the Constitution only has one place in it that makes even any kind of reference to religion, and it says that Congress shall pass no laws respecting the establishment of a religion. And that was simply they did not want a church of the United States like they had a church of England. Had nothing to do with separation of church and state. Just that the government couldn't have its own church. But
yeah, and it also said are prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
There you go. We're sharing the brain.
No restrict. Yeah, yeah. Hey,
that,
hey Bob.
That, that's right.
It's eight o'clock high. I've got to take. This is a hard break that I have to take. So we're going to have a couple minutes off here, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be talking with Bob right after the break. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Arthur Mondale. President Obama told Congress Monday that he's sending up to 275 U.S. troops to Iraq in order to provide security for the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad and other U.S. personnel. The president is also considering sending a small number of special forces for training, though it's not certain where in Iraq the troops will be deployed. Obama has maintained he will not send combat troops, but all other options are on the table. Senator Claire McCaskill criticized celebrity doctor Dr. Oz today for his enthusiastic endorsement of questionable weight loss advertisements. According to McCaskill, Dr. Oz often advertises products on the Dr. Oz Show with flowery statements, such as calling an item a miracle in a bottle, that could mislead many consumers who trust his title. General Motors is recalling 3.2 million more U.S. cars due to defects with ignition switches. If these GM cars go over a pothole or a railroad track, the ignition switch can switch out of its run position. Arthur Mondale, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcs4automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Bob Reyes.
It's Reese, but you can call it Smith as long as you're both.
I'm sorry, Bob Reyes. And we were talking before the break and over the break about, you know, the moral decline and how, you know, the federal government. Well, you had an idea about what you would like to see the Attorney General do.
Let's
hear that one.
Yes. Well, and as we shared, we'll back up this a little bit because the First Amendment of the Constitution, which says that Congress should pass no laws prohibiting respecting the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, it does not say except for children praying in school or reading the Bible, or cities putting up crosses or nativity scenes. So what I want to do is pass a law. It'll be the first law that I introduce, and it will require the Attorney General to enter into every lawsuit where the ACLU or any organization like that is filing a lawsuit against some child for reading the Bible or praying or a city for putting up a nativity scene or a cross. I want that Attorney General to represent the people that he's hired to represent, go into the courtroom as a friend of the court and say to the judge, you have to dismiss this case. And the reason you have to dismiss the case is because there's no basis in law. There can't be a basis in law because the Constitution of the United States says there shall be no laws passed prohibiting free exercise of religion. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and well, one other thing, too. Now, remember, the Bill of Rights, the First Ten Amendments, were limits on the federal government. They were even to apply to the state governments. As a matter of fact,
right.
I don't support this concept. I'm glad that states don't do it anymore. But there were states with state religions up until about the 1830s. Massachusetts was one of the last ones. And I'm not advocating a state religion. Nobody misinterprets me there. But the point is, the Bill of Rights, the First Ten Amendments, were limits on the federal government, not on the state government. And now, through their bastardized version of the 14th Amendment and the Due Process Clause and some other garbage, they now take what was meant to be a restriction on the federal government and beat the states over the head with it. And that's what really infuriates me.
Well, and the problem is we don't have any governors with any guts because all they have to do is tell the federal government to kiss off. What are they going to do, send in the Marines? I'll tell you, and I'll tell the folks where they can find this to back it up. They'll find it in Article 1, Section 8. It's about the 17th clause where it tells the only land that the federal government can control. And it is the Washington, D.C. area, as it turned out to be. And other than that, it's land for forts, arsenals, dockyards, and one other that's military in nature, and it says in other necessary buildings. But the significant thing it also says is that the state legislatures have to approve this. So
yeah.
Alaska wants to drill for oil in Anwar. Obama and the federal government saying, you can't do it because it's a federal park. There is nothing in the Constitution that authorizes the federal government to have a federal park. Those should be state parks. So Alaska should drill in Anwar, help to take us off of foreign, be independent on foreign oil, make their money, and tell the federal government to kiss off. It's not your land. That rancher in Nevada was absolutely correct when he said, I'm not going to pay the federal government grazing fees. If Nevada wants to charge me, I'll pay them. But the federal government's got no right to ask for this. And he was right.
Yeah. We've got to get the 10th Amendment, following the 10th Amendment and actually putting some force behind it would solve a lot of our problems, as would just limiting what we allow the federal government to do in accordance with Article 1, Section 8. It lays out the 18 or 20 things that they're supposed to do. And, unfortunately, our states get bribed. You know, the federal government dangles some of our tax dollars, and our state government signs on. And then even our county governments sign on to this stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, any one of your listeners can earn a quick $100 off me. All they have to do is grab a constitution and show me where the federal government has any right at all to educate our children.
Won't find it.
It's not in there. And we didn't have they weren't involved until 1980. I mean, somehow we got along without them and became the greatest industrial nation in the history of the world and invented cars, autos, televisions, you name it, without the government being involved. We educated our children well enough for that.
Yeah, I think we've gotten dumber. The more the federal government's got involved, the dumber we have gotten.
Kids can't even read and write. They're getting out of the eighth grade now since the government's gotten involved.
Can't add in their head.
What's that?
Can't add numbers, simple numbers in their head.
No. We did pretty good memorizing the multiplication tables, didn't we?
And I
graduated high school in 1950. I've got along pretty well in life with that old math because, Lord, I was born before television, let alone these computers and all these things that the kids use now. I had to sharpen a pencil and wet it with the tip of my tongue. But as far as the Environmental Protection Agency, we never had that until Nixon was president. And they just that's another thing. The Constitution says the only way to make a law is to go through both houses of Congress. But yet they are forcing these regulations on us as though they're law, and we're living by it. We're letting them get away with it. And the EPA especially has become nothing but a Gestapo agency. I'll guarantee you, Gibson Guitar did not know they were breaking a law, and they weren't. They were breaking a federal regulation, which is not a law. So,
yeah. Well, you know, that's one of my big beats, too. Well, I tell you what, it's frustrating that these agencies, these unelected people, these bureaucrats, are able to make. You know, I think that if the federal government creates an agency, when they create that agency, it has a specific purpose and limited purpose, and all the rules and regulations that agency puts out in terms of how it's going to interface with the public and what it's allowed to do, how it's allowed to interact with the public, that should be spelled out in the legislation. These guys should not be left to
write
their own rules. It's ridiculous.
You are exactly right. Look, we don't even know who these guys are or girls, and all they've got to do is come up with some cockamamie idea and satisfy their department heads, and they're putting it on us. My Lord, the EPA is going in and raiding people, taking, like Gibson, taking their supplies without even a court order. I mean, where the hell is that in the Constitution?
I don't know.
It's not.
Matter of fact, that's the reason we have a Constitution.
I know where it is. It's in the Fourth Amendment. It says they can't do it.
Exactly. Hey, I've got to read this real quick, and we'll get right back to you. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His friends were parents with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Wicker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And, Bob, back to the conversation. You talked about the legislation that you like to pass, having Attorney General basically defend anybody charges from the ACLU or other organizations like that when they try to prevent them from their freedom of religion, freedom of religion. And we were just talking about the EPA.
Yes.
And especially in Tennessee, because we have a lot of, you know, we have national parks, and I'm not saying that those in themselves, I mean, I think they should be very, very small, to be honest with you. And as you said, the states should have to agree to these things. I imagine at some time in the past, our state was probably bought off. The legislature was probably bought off on some of these national parks. But anything in particular that you would like to see in regards to the EPA in Tennessee? Is there something that you would like to, legislation that you'd like to sponsor to push back the EPA in Tennessee?
Oh, I would like to see the federal. Now I'm going to Congress. So I'm only going to be involved with federal matters. I would like to see the Environmental Protection Agency dissolved and let the states do whatever they want. That would be, you'd have to ask a question of that to the people in the state Senate and
no,
House.
No, I know, but I meant, I understand the division of labor there. But what I'm saying is, federal issues within Tennessee. There's federal property within Tennessee. So you answered the question. You want to do away with the EPA. So, hey, I'm with you there, and I think I think most of us are. So, okay.
Regarding any other federal property, okay, if it is not for some one of the four things that in Article 1, Section 8, and I know it says forts, arsenals and depots, and there's one that I can't think of, but it gives four, and then it says, or other needed buildings. If it's not a needed building or used for a military, they can't have it. They are not authorized by the Constitution to govern it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Nothing. That's the state. See, people don't remember why the federal government was formed. It was formed because we have 13 states, which are really 13 separate countries. And they were doing certain things themselves, but there are some things that they couldn't do for themselves. For instance, you know, if who's going to take care of the postal roads? Are we going to have inches or the metric system? Or who's going to make the money? Who's going to, if somebody writes a book or a song, who's going to take care of that? You know, who's going to collect the taxes to take care of this? Who's going to defend us? And they had certain things that they could not do for themselves, and they formed this entity that we called the U.S. Constitution, forming the United States of America, and it was to serve the states. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was created to serve the states. And the states said, look, if we haven't given you this responsibility, don't take it. It's ours. And
right.
And we've just reversed it. I call it creating a Frankenstein monster, because I know when Dr. Frankenstein, in a fictional book, created life, he thought he was doing good, and so did these people think they were doing good, and they did, but eventually it turned on, became a monster and turned on him, and that's what befell to. Bring that monster under control in certain ways, and we've got to do this certain thing. I don't want to kill it. I think that this country is the greatest nation in the history of the world, and I believe it was God's hand, because how could a bag of ragtag volunteers whip the greatest army in the world, and how could we get these 13 countries together in one room and come up with a beautiful thing to do as well as it did? That's only 3,500 words. I mean, I think it's just God's hand on it. And so, I want to protect it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we have to, you know, get back to the Constitution, and we just have to demand it at all levels, though. When you have this entitlement mentality, and when I say entitlement mentality, I don't mean just the people that are collecting welfare, but, you know, you have people at county government and in state government, and they have this mindset of, well, we pay federal taxes, so we should get in on the action. You know, we should get our piece of the pie. But, you know, the thing is, you can't tell the federal government to get out of your business on one hand, and on the other hand, your hand is out for some sort of federal program.
That, by the
way, not authorized in the Constitution normally.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get off of our addiction. It's not just the parasites at the bottom that are addicted to government handouts. It's our county governments and to a great degree our state. We need governors that will stand up to the federal government. That's something we desperately need.
And that's the problem. And I understand they're playing by the rules they've been dictating. You know, when I was playing basketball, there was times when I thought that the rules should be, I wanted six fouls, but the rules were only five fouls. So I had to play by those rules. And I understand that. So what we've got to do is get back to changing the rules to the way our founding fathers wanted it, and then the states would have the money to take care of what their responsibilities are, because they're not sending all the tax dollars into Washington to be turned around after they siphon something off the top with strings on it. And that's another thing. Anybody in your listening audience can make another $100 off me. If they can find in the Constitution where the federal government's authorized to tell the state governments how to spend their money.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to take a real quick break. It'll be short, and we will be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Inside Tennessee.
Thank you.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, These MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase, Molon Levay, which translated means, come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And I'm talking with Bob Reese, candidate for 5th District, Tennessee House, trying to knock out Bob Cooper. Now, what are some other things you'd like to accomplish, and how is your campaign going overall?
Well, overall, I think it's going very good. We had the Republican Party picnic last Saturday, and they had their straw poll, and last year the winner of the straw poll beat me by 3 votes in the straw poll, and he beat me in the whole race by 40, so that was a pretty good indication. Before that, David Hall won the straw poll and won the nomination, and this time I won the straw poll. I got there were some people that were just out there to vote for Joe Carr or Lamont Alexander, so they didn't all vote in our race. But those that voted in our race, I got 70% of the vote, and the second place was Big John Smith, who got a little under 24%. And then there's a gentleman out of, frankly, doesn't even live in the district, and he got about 5. And I pointed out that was Davidson County, yeah. Okay. And I'm not running against Big John. Big John and I are friends. I think he's the nicest guy in the district. If we had to vote for the nicest guy in the district, I'd vote for Big John. You know, he's just that sweet of a man. But we've got to truthfully analyze who can beat Jim Cooper, and I've got some constituencies out there that I believe I can beat him, because we've got to face it. There are not enough Republicans in the district to beat Jim Cooper. Somebody's got to be able to peel over about 13,000 Democrats. Now, being the only military veteran, that's where I'm at today. I'm talking to all the military groups, and they're Democrats and Republicans, and I'm able to pull them over. And I'll just give you one example of how well it's working. A couple weeks ago, it seems like I'm always out here in Dixon, because I'm out here in Dixon talking to the VFW today. But 2 weeks ago, I was talking to the VFW or the American Legion. And by the time I got back to Nashville, the commander had already called my wife and said I was getting every vote in the post. So that's how it's good. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to get those people. And then I'm also a fourth-degree knight in the Knights of Columbus. And 61% of the Catholics voted for Jim Cooper last time. We got to pull them away. And when I'm talking to them, they're saying, well, he's such a nice guy. And I say, well, he may be a nice guy, but he voted for the law that's forcing our nuns to support abortion. No. Yes. Yeah. So as I can get that kind of information out to the veterans and out to the Catholics on that, I think I can swing those over. So that's what I'm asking your listeners for, to help me get that nomination. Go ahead, please.
Let me ask you this. Your constituents that don't know his record, is it an older crowd that's not online? I mean, because in this day and age, there's no way it's so easy to know somebody's record. You don't have to just rely on what the newspaper tells you. You can get online. Is it mostly the older crowd that doesn't know about the guy? Doesn't know his record?
It is. And they overlook it. And look, I used to be a Democrat. Most people my age were Democrats at one time. I woke up one morning and Nancy Pelosi, who says, "Hey, you gotta pass it to read it," and then you got Harry Reid who can't read it if somebody writes it for him, and you had Barack Obama, who if he tells me the sun's coming up in the morning, I'm going out about noon with a flashlight and check. I thought, hell, I wouldn't even hire these people. So it's time for me to change parties. I philosophically, I truly still believe in what Thomas Jefferson wrote, but that party's gone, and Harry Truman is still my political idol. Him and Ronald Reagan, both of them, they were so good and so honest and so strong and so believed in this country and the Constitution, and And this guy is just I don't even know what to call him. And I have the conversations with some of my black friends, and I say, look, if you want to think that he's doing good just because he's black, then the black half of him, that's doing a fantastic job. It's a white half of him that sucks.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think he's half white, half black, and all wrong. I don't think there's any good side of him.
You know. Yeah, I understand. I said that with my tongue in my cheek. You know that.
Yeah. Now, okay, so how long have you been in the GOP?
Oh, about a little over 4 years. 2010. I mean, yeah, 2010 I switched over. And I was pretty active. I've always been active. As a matter of fact, I was a ward chairman in Bobby Kennedy. When I was in the Army, John Kennedy was my commander-in-chief. So when Bobby Kennedy ran, I was going to college, and I got involved. And then after he was shot, Pierre Salinger asked me to go to Chicago and work in the draft eddy. So I was at that Chicago convention in 68. And I got involved in the Democratic Party then because I've always been involved in politics. Always had the same philosophies. Democratic Party used to be the Conservative Party.
But it's been more than 4 years, though, since the Democrats have been the Conservative Party.
Oh, my God. Wait, and you are right. Now, I have not voted. I think the last Democrat I voted for was, and I hang my head in shame over this one, was Jimmy Carter. But, no, my daughter, when she was going to college, she belonged to the Young Republic. She kept coming over and said, Dad, you're a Republican. I said, I am a philosophical Democrat, and I am going to bring this party back. But then finally I woke up, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but I'm a little bit lit. At one point I said, you know what, this, I don't even know what this party is. I mean, it's not the Democratic Party that I grew up with. And this is what I say to the people my age. It's not, you know, it's not the party, you know. You got to think of the country now. And frankly, you know, people who say who are Democrats who say they would never vote for anybody but a Democrat, that's saying they wouldn't vote for Abraham Lincoln. And for the Republicans who say that they'd never vote for anybody but a Republican, they're saying that they'd never vote for Thomas Jefferson. And none of them would vote for George Washington because neither one of the parties was around.
Yeah, actually, Jefferson was a... I think it was called a Democratic Republican, but that was not, like you say, that was not the same party. This is not even the Democrat Party today is not even the party of pre-1968 even, because from 68 on it's just gone steadily to the left and downhill.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and it's always been a little too big government.
I think closer to 64. But certainly from 68, yeah, it has. It's just not the same. And John Kennedy and Harry Truman could not get nominated in this. Thomas Jefferson couldn't get nominated in this party today.
He'd be a racist slaveholder, you know. So there's no way they'd elect him.
Yep. You're right. It's so we've got to break the people. We've got to say to the Republicans, nominate the best people that you can nominate. Democrats, nominate the best people that you can nominate. And then, folks, think of the country, you know, and they haven't been doing that. And I'll tell you, it never used to be this way. When we were young, my daughter Stacy, who I think you know, she, when I was a Democrat, Gerald Ford was coming to town, and the treasurer of the Republican Party called me and asked if I'd mind having my daughter sing a national anthem for him. I said, well, of course, he's my president too. But I can pinpoint it. It was when the Clintons came in with all their hatred that really split it. So we haven't had cooperation with the parties. I mean, Reagan worked well with the Democrats, and maybe someday we'll get back to that.
I kind of doubt it, but we'll see. Well, hey, about out of time here. I appreciate you coming on. You know, good luck in your campaign, and enjoy talking to you.
Thank you. And which county do you live in?
I live in Stewart County. I'm sorry, I can't vote for you. I'm stuck in Marshall Blackburn for now.
I just got to remember how the Democrats got people registered to Tombstone as I get you up there.
Okay.
Bob Reese for Congress.com. R-I-E-S. Thank you, sir. All right.
Coming on. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Just, have a good one. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we the people run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
Hello, this is Robin Zander.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on The Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And our next guest is Roy Bricco. He's running for Tennessee State House in District 81. Roy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Dave?
Doing fine. Appreciate you coming on. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Well, I'm a, like you, Dave, I am a concerned citizen that is really, really fed up with the out-of-control government we see just about at every level. And, as I look around the country and I talk to different people, and I've been to a lot of different places, the mood is one of almost surrender. And I'm disturbed that seems to be the mood. So I have decided, and actually I got involved in politics probably early 2000 and time frame, and I decided that it was time for me to get in there and try to do something. I'm not a spectator, Dave. I have to be involved. I cannot sit on the sidelines and watch things continue to deteriorate. So I basically went to the local Republican Party probably around the 2004 time frame, and I introduced myself, and I didn't really get a very warm welcome. And long story short, it same status quo approach as we see in so many places, not a lot of real patriotism at the local level and energy, let me put it that way, not much energy there. So I let it be known that I felt called to come into the world of politics and to run for office. And everybody just kind of give me kind of a blank stare, like, well, who are you and why are you here? You know, and of course, I had just told them. But I'm simply a grandfather, a father, a husband. I've been married now to my lovely wife for 34 years. I've got three grown children. I've got five grandchildren. And, you know, I'm blessed, Dave, because I've lived in a free country. I've had a good job ever since I got out of high school at 19 years old. I've been in the world of manufacturing for the better part of 38 years now. And, you know, it's life's been good to me. I've had my struggles, as everybody else has, I'm sure. And but you know, as I see the American dream seemingly fading away, like I said, I'm not ready to give it up. So I am running for office, running for the 81st House seat here in Tennessee, and I am an individual who is going to be accessible to the people of my district, and I want to promote a vision that partners industry and educators as we prepare the next generation for success. I don't know if you look around in industry, and I like I said, I've been in it a while. We're looking for people right now, Dave, and we do not find many marketable skills in the job force right now in terms of the people we're interviewing, and we're interviewing lots of people. So it's kind of disturbing, the level of skill sets that are necessary to enter the workforce now have changed dramatically since I entered 38 years ago. And the educators.
So, what's your plan for changing that? What's your plan for changing that? How do we beat that?
Well, my plan is right now. I'm already partnering with some of the educators in trying to understand what are their objectives in terms of the curriculum content. You know, in vo-tech education, 2-year, 4-year degrees. What are they focusing on? And trying to assess what that looks like, and then basically from an industrial perspective, saying here are the specific skill sets that we're looking at that we need right now. These are, and basically define to educators, these are marketable skills in the workplace right now, and we need to work together to provide programs that these young people that can engage in. And basically, then basically give them a green light right into the workforce.
That's so you mean Common Core is not the silver bullet that they've painted it?
No, Common Core is not the silver. Matter of fact, Common Core is it's one of those things that's really dumbing down. Once again, it's funny how people they talk about standards and they paint this thing as if it is the panacea that will. Bring us back from the abyss with regard to, the state of the education in our country. But rigorous government standards have proven to be a failure over the course of history within education. And more of the same isn't going to help us. And that's basically what Common Core is. I've talked to several teachers in the area, and they are disturbed because it is just it's chewing up. Already very limited resources. They're basically having to teach to the test. They are being scrutinized by the top-down, heavy-handed approach that the government is bringing. And, it's frankly got a lot of them very scared. And when you compare this approach from the federal government level, it's inconsistent with federalism, Dave, as you would know. You know, wherein the states are supposed to be laboratories of experiment. You know, but these controlists, they want a one size fits all, and no, it is not. It is not the panacea that has been painted to be. The Gates Foundation is behind it, it's a difficult subject for me because. In the media, they paint it as something obviously that it's not, and when you come out against it, you better be prepared to defend your position. So,
well, hey, you know, I think you should be good at least for 2 years because, as I understand it, Bill Gates himself has backed off pushing it for 2 years. So, maybe he's figuring something out. Maybe it's not worth his trouble. So. I think that's good, especially for our state, because it's kind of hard for the governor. I would think it'd be kind of hard for the governor to keep pushing it when the main funder of it is now kind of backing off, at least for now. Now, I'm not saying he's going to abandon it, but that's what I was reading about today. Now, your district, District 81, what area does that cover?
It's actually all of Tipton County, just Tipton County. Back when the Republicans won the House and the redistricting that took place in 2010, I believe it was. They redrew the 81st, which it used to encompass Haywood County. They cut Haywood out, and Tipton County is standalone now, the 81st district.
And who's currently in that seat?
Right now, we have Representative Deborah Moody in that seat. She actually won the seat. I don't know how familiar you are with the past representative from 81st district. It was Mr. Jimmy Nafe. I know you heard the name.
Oh Lord, yeah.
Yeah. So the legislature was really excited about who that individual would be that would replace Jimmy, and our current representative, I think, has really disappointed quite a few up there. And that's the message we're hearing from many of our constituents as we go around and try to help them understand who we are and what we're about.
What are some of the other things that you want to accomplish if you get elected?
Well, obviously, one of the things that's very disconcerting to people not only in our district here, Dave, but all over the country is crime, and I'm committed to finding ways to connect law enforcement and concerned citizens in an effort to reduce crime in our neighborhoods. You know, it's we have neighborhood watch. That's a good approach. I was speaking to our sheriff the other day, and I remember as a young man, one of my first encounters with law enforcement, and I was basically sharing with him how you guys are going to have a significant impact on how young people view law enforcement based on how you engage with those young people that you confront on the streets or anywhere else. And I said, the face that you guys put on law enforcement, I said, we've got to work together to make sure that we're instilling the respect that needs to be there for people in position of authority. So how do we work through, there is such a disrespect out there now. I want to build back in a respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've got to read this real quick, but America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Obolosky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night, 9 Central, for the Constitution and Liberty community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Obolosky, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Rory Bricco. He is candidate for the 81st House seat here in Tennessee. And we were talking about restoring respect between the police and, I guess you could say, the community. You know, there is disrespect is a problem, especially with the younger generation. They just, so many of them grew up without a male authority figure in their home, and they don't have any, they were never taught any respect, and their dealings with police, you know, it varies. I mean, there's some people that are police, that are law enforcement officers for all of the right reasons. But I think there are some, and I think it's becoming more prevalent than it used to be. And I say this as somebody who has, you know, my dad was a county sheriff. He was a county magistrate. My aunt was a deputy sheriff, small county in West Virginia. But I think there's more and more that are maybe there for the wrong reason, and that does kind of make it a little more difficult sometimes. And it seems like a lot of them have become militarized. But I do agree there is a problem with the disrespect issue.
Yes, that's one of the reasons I'm reaching out. And again, fortunately, we have a great sheriff here in Tipton County, and he recognizes and understands, you know, the challenge that he's faced with, and he's willing to reach out. He's willing to do the right thing. And that's a breath of fresh air. So much of the time, you know, I view people as either either they're going to work with you or they're turf people, Dave. You know what I mean? They're so interested in protecting their turf that they would do all the wrong things. So much of the time it's out of ignorance and fear because they want to protect their position. I don't live like that. I mean, my goal in life is to make the people around me successful. So, you know, when I'm faced with difficult challenges, one of my greatest strengths is remaining focused while I work with others. And I'm looking for the best path forward. And I believe that the practical application of proven principles that are based on truth, I've basically applied these principles, Dave, to what I've done in my workplace for 20-something years now, because I'm in a position of management. And it's worked well for me in the business world, and I'm certain it's the best methodology to incorporate, while representing the people of Tennessee's 81st District. And that means sacrificing my own self-interest for the common good. That's what I believe a servant is supposed to do. And again, that's been my approach in business. I'm extremely successful. You can ask. I mean, I've worked with people for 35 years. So it's kind of like your wife. If anybody knows you, your wife's going to know you, right? You can fool most people out there, but you're not going to fool your wife. And people, or your husband, I'll say to those wives out there. But I've worked with people for 35 years, and just about you could ask just about any of them the kind of person I am, and they would tell you that I'm a person that can work with anybody who's willing to work with me. Obviously, if individuals aren't willing to work together, there's not a whole lot we can do about the other side of it. But I'm still going to press on because I want to make things better, And I want to network with whoever I can to make things better. That's what's wrong with this Common Core. It's not making things better. It's standardizing in such a way where instead of creating thinkers, we're creating workers. One of my approaches toward life is I use what they call systemic thinking. I know you've heard of that. So I look at, how is this system supposed to work? That's one of the first questions. The other one is, do we even need it? But more importantly, you want to think through the system and understand what may be broken in it, what is working, what isn't working. But it requires
thinking, right?
What's the goal, right? Set those goals and get out there and work for them.
And I've seen that. I've been involved with organizations that they have a stated goal. And the goal is, there's nothing wrong with the goal. And that's one of the things that, you always hear about Common Core. Well, it's standards. Well, standards are a goal. But, here's the deal. If the policies and the way that you have laid out to achieve that goal, if they undermine reaching your goal, well, then it's not a good plan. And you see that a lot of times. I've seen organizations that have been involved with organizations. Here's our goal. We set these high standards. You see it in the military a lot. And, I'm retired military, and I've worked with it, and I see the goal is X, excellence in this, and this. But then they enact all these policies that undercut their stated goal. And I think that's probably what Common Core does. Now, you mentioned that there were people. Did you get in the race? Were you kind of drafted into this race, or did was it kind of just an opportunity thing because people were not happy with the current representative? You mentioned there was some discontent with the current representative, so if you care to elaborate on that.
Well, I basically did not get an invitation to the party. I'm not your status quo kind of person. So, and you probably know this already, Dave, but it probably doesn't matter which county or which state or what level of government position you might be running for. There are, I'll use the Republican Party as an example. There's the establishment crowd, and let me back up a little bit. You may or may not agree with this, but I believe that the battlefront right now, the front line of the battle, is the primary election, and that's at all levels. We have been losing the battle at the primary level, and what I see going on, and I am trumpeting this message all over the place. What I see going on, there are a select group of people, and I don't care which county, which district you pick, there's just about always a select group of people who select who they think the, who they think the representative should be for that particular district, that state, maybe the nation as a whole, and then they throw all those campaigns, they finance that campaign, and they push that person in, out to the people. And then when you look at the numbers, statistical data as to what the turnout is in the primary, it's pretty abysmal. I'll give you specifics here in the county. 7.5% of the eligible of registered voters in Tipton County selected our representative last time in the primary.
Wow.
7.5% of the voters. Okay, so
and that was during
election,
a presidential election.
That's right.
That was 2012 and then, presidential election. Good Lord.
Exactly. And then in the general election, I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 58% of those eligible voters, close to 60, that actually came out and did their duty to vote in that general election. Well, kudos to you folks, but remember something. You're getting secondhand pickings. If you don't show up to that primary, I question the kind of decision you really wind up making. Show up to that primary. Please show up to that primary. At all levels,
yeah.
Find out who these candidates are. Check them out. You know, we're all flawed. There's no doubt about that. But find out who their associates are. Find out, you know, can they really bring something to the table that's gonna turn this ship of state around? And that's where we need to do our due diligence. And your question to me was about the individual who's running, who actually holds the seat now. I've had people, Dave, just get in my face just so upset with this particular representative, and to the point where it just it made me just flinch. And I didn't really ask them to elaborate, but the best I could get from them was she's not returning their phone calls. She's not acting on the things that she says she will do. And they're just infuriated with it. It's like she's absent without leave. Is what the message I'm getting. And the irony is that, and I've spoken to many people who know her well. They said, "Well, that's who she is." You know. I said, "Well, you know." And unfortunately, it gets back to we, the voters, need to do our due diligence to find out. Are the people we are voting for, are they reliable? Will they follow through on what we're asking them to do, or even what they're committing to do? So
yeah,
that's a little bit of the situation there. I mean, I don't even like to go negative at all. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Yeah.
I had to get you to sling mud, but you kind of touched on it. And so I'm like, okay, were there some major? You know, and that's funny, too, because that was one of the things against Eric Cantor in Virginia, that, hey, the guy is out of touch, doesn't return calls, doesn't return emails, basically doesn't seem to be concerned about his constituents. And, obviously, the amnesty issue for him didn't work out too well. Maybe that's a trend.
Let me give you a specific example. In the last election, there were four of us on the Republican ticket in the primary. And I was actually chair of the Republican Party in Tipton County at the time. I stepped out of my chairman role and basically took a back seat, and the party continued to function. They set up forums, Dave, and invited all the candidates to the forums. This one particular candidate, the winner, the one who's in the seat now, never showed up to the forums. Always had a reason why not to. And just give you now the control of the party switched hands right after that took place, right after she was elected, and now they've set up a candidate forum. They set up a forum to hear from the. They've invited me. Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go speak to them. I'm not going to hide in the shadows. I'm going to go tell them who I am and what I bring to the table. But you know. It was appalling to some people that they wanted to know who she was. The active people wanted to know who she was, but she wouldn't come out and allow them to get to know her. But they were still successful because again the primary was a low turnout, And the little group of individuals and the money from Nashville and everything else was just enough to push her in. You know, another thing that happened too was interesting in the last election. There was a Democrat running as an independent, and the thoughts were that he would wind up winning as an independent because he's a very popular individual. It was a pretty good strategy. Unfortunately, there was a woman who ran on a Democratic ticket, but I said all that to say that many of the Republicans in the county crossed over and voted for this particular representative we have now as a strategy to get the independent elected, and it blew up in their face. These are some of the people, ironically, that are the most upset. So, well, be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, you might just get it. Wow. Now, you mentioned money from Nashville. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just ask, and you may or may not know this, and if anybody that knows me knows that I have an extremely very low opinion of our governor, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't think we could have elected a worse person at a worse time. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Is she? Do you know whether or not he's supporting her? You have any idea on that? Because I would tell you if I were a voter in Tipton County, and if Governor Haslam were supporting the nominee, one of the contested candidates in my county, then I would know right off that would be one candidate that I would not vote for.
I can tell you that indirectly he is supporting her, without a doubt. I can also tell you that the Speaker of the House has donated to her campaign the full amount during the election cycle. And so it's clear. And it's funny you go online and see where the money's coming from. It'll help you quickly understand, you know, who's influencing the selection of the candidates in the different counties. Or, you know, just look at the money flow. You've heard the old adage, follow the money, right? And
follow the money back to the establishment in this case.
That's what you'll see when you look at the data. And it was a little frustrating to me because I am as pro-life, I am as pro-Constitution as they come, as conservative as you could. People tell me, here's the biggest criticism I get, Dave. Rory Bricko is too conservative.
What makes Rory Bricko too conservative? What do they accuse you? How are you too conservative?
I'm too conservative because I believe in fiscal responsibility. I believe that the government, in terms of taxes, I believe we should maintain the balanced budget at the state level. You know, I believe we should rein in the harmful regulations that are holding back small business. I believe we should privatize much of the of government that should be in, you know, the services coming that are now controlled by government should be put into private hands and become part of the free market. I believe we should, you know, promote free trade. I just believe in general, Dave, we should reduce the size and scope of government by outsourcing inefficiency.
So what I'm hearing is you actually believe what the others claim to believe, who call themselves conservative Republicans. Is that the case?
Yeah, and I'm willing to act on it, and it scares them.
I mean, it's one thing to say it during the campaign; it's another thing to actually do it. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it scares people when they realize you. One of the descriptions a real good friend of mine has for me, Dave, is a man of action. I make things happen, and I am willing to work and make things happen. And I want to see the things happen that we conservative Republicans say we're for. And a big part of that is reducing the scope of this government, and that's at all levels.
Hey, we've got about 30 seconds left. So you have a website or anything that you want to put out real quick?
I do have a website. It's rorybricko.com, R-O-R-Y-B-R-I-C-C-O.com. I also have a Facebook out there. It's you can link to it from that website, Dave.
All right. Hey, we're down to about 10 seconds. Thank you for coming on. Good luck in your campaign, and we will try to have you back on before the primary if we can.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for the work you're doing.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye.
All right. We'll hopefully hear everybody. Everybody will hopefully tune in next week. We'll have Mae Beavers and Kathy Henners, among others. And have a good week. We'll talk to you.